Allora, che signor Giro mi ci chiede, ne San Giacomo Nende, io sono Cepeghi, da Tarbata Temce Cimbe, Covon di Mia Tap, Lambi Manova, Tienci, Pitinci, in Giova Giove, Namciati, ne Cicche, Becchi, Lamatan, ne Chiaraki, ne Cepeghi, ne Pentita, Namci, Cecibi, Sulu Mongolia, ne Tersam Comfumce. अने देने की चेपा ले देने अने जिके लम्बे कितेंगी अने जिके जेरम का संयुक्त ने जो कंपा था तो देने जवा चुबी चे तम्चे रांसी मार्च के तोंबी तोंई नम्चा देने जवा जुआ दी अने जिके तम्हेंगे न्याबा न्यासोंस देने इंजा न्यामने या अने जिके देने के दोए के कने निना संबी के जिके हमोगा दि
Good evening. So last time we spoke about, we looked at in these verses how Jaya Rinpoche was expressing that through having reflected on dependence arising and studying, okay, let me say that again. Last time we looked at how Jaya Rinpoche expressed that the Buddha Dharma, the Buddha's teachings, present the unmistaken path to liberation. And in order for him to realize this directly for himself, come to understand this with unmistaken clarity, he studied a vast number of sutras, as well as the commentaries by Indian pandits and Tibetan lamas, as well as training under the great Tibetan lamas of the day. And in dependence on all the study and guidance, and as well as his own endeavors, he came to realize that all phenomena are empty of inherent existence, and he came to realize this through contemplating dependent arising. And in that way, all previous confusion was eradicated, all previous doubts were eradicated, all lack of clarity, this too, was eradicated. So that in brief is what we looked at last time.
That during the Machia, and there, Sanyaki, and Zeba, Mambo Yubi Nane, and Sungi Zebadi, and Jay Choto Yubare, Sachi, and Digo Machia.
Tonight, where we will resume in the text, Jaya Rinpoche is expressing that amongst the many activities, the supreme activity is that of teaching.
The 52nd verse.
Amongst all his deeds, the act of teaching is supreme, and amongst them, this one is supreme. For this reason, the wise should remember the Buddha. So what we find in this verse is the 52nd verse is the essence of the entire text up to this point, summarized and contained within this 52nd verse.
Zeba 탐제 동화 방화다 녀모 버세야다 안 디기 주비하게 체도 잡아 잡아레스 안 고바도 가려람나 안 되야 심지어 탐제 산지 고바 토야 되레세지 어디 돈달라 디나데 디숭고레다.
So what is contained then in the 52nd verse is that the it's referred to that amongst the wide variety of enlightened activities that a Buddha engages in, which is the supreme enlightened activity amongst these? And what is the primary purpose of those enlightened activities, the enlightened activities of a Buddha? What is a Buddha's purpose? What is the purpose that he is trying to enact? So the answer to those questions is contained within this verse.
지난단 고바 심지한 탐지 산지 고바도 송바래 디인산당 안도 가르치고서 산지 좀된 이제 개진 지수 전비 토네 산지 좀된 데를 양어도 계속 도와서 산지 좀된 데기 송비 취해들라 제수지 안는 안에서 그 데려 최선 공송진에 롭정 제고 그래 사실 담아들 디승 거래 다지 돈다 디제 다 디니
So the meaning in brief of this verse is that the purpose of a Buddha the purpose of a Buddha is to lead all sentient beings from their current suffering state, lead them through their cultivation of the minds that eventually turn into those of a liberated state, and thereby lead them to the state of enlightenment. So that's the purpose of a Buddha, to guide beings in their inner cultivation of the minds of liberation. And then near at the end of the verse where we see that we should remember the Buddha. What this means is that we should hear the teachings of the Buddha Dharma, reflect on them, their meaning, coming to be able to actually meditate on them. And in this way, we follow the Buddha or we remember the Buddha. This word that we have here, deeds, or usually activities, as in enlightened activities. So this, in the context of a Buddha, we use the formal term of enlightened activities. But in a worldly context, such as for ourselves, we talk about work. What is the work we engage in? What are the regular activities that we engage in? So this is, what is then the work of a Buddha, or the enlightened activities that a Buddha engages in? Well, the purpose of these, the goal that the Buddha strives continuously to achieve, is to guide sentient beings to cultivate freedom from suffering within their continuum, to lead sentient beings to a state freed of suffering. So what are the causes for the enlightened activities of a Buddha? Well, for a Buddha to engage in the enlightened activities, this only came about independence on the cultivation of specific causes. So in the case of Buddha Shakyamuni, in the past, he was an ordinary being just like us, with a mind dominated by afflictions. But through training his mind, he was able to eventually attain the state of a Buddha. So how did he go, what were the causes in particular that he went about accumulating in order to achieve the dependent result of enlightenment, when he investigated the causes of suffering, the causes of samsara. And in conjunction with this, he investigated the causes for liberation. And he identified, under the guidance of his teachers, that the causes for all our suffering are our own afflicted minds. Knowing this, he strove to abandon these afflicted minds together with their seeds. And moreover, he reflected that all sentient beings, all ordinary beings, are in the same position as himself, being dominated by afflictions, yet desiring lasting peace and happiness. And he took this as his own personal responsibility to become an enlightened being so that he could guide others to also attain their own enlightenment. So in this way, he engaged in the accumulation of the causes for enlightenment, which are, in brief, the accumulation of all good qualities, the causes to give rise to all good qualities, and he engaged in the complete eradication, the complete elimination of all faults.
The very
first word in Tibetan is japa, which we have here as deeds, or we could take as enlightened activities. So the Buddha engages in enlightened activities through physical activities, verbal activities, mental activities. And these are all motivated by the prior generation of minds of love and compassion. So we can talk about the enlightened activities of the Buddha that are powered or motivated by the mind of love. So it's through the cultivation of love that he engages in his variety of enlightened activities to benefit beings. And in what way does he want to benefit beings? To guide them in the attainment, in their own attainment of liberation from suffering. again looking at our text, among all his deeds, so this word all, so this refers to the enlightened activities or the enlightened deeds of a Buddha that are performed through his body, through his speech, and through his mind. So all refers to all of the varieties of enlightened activities a Buddha engages in. And one couldn't differentiate between them in terms of saying which are better and which are worse, whether the enlightened activities of a Buddha's body or Buddha's speech or Buddha's mind. One couldn't really say one type is better and one is worse. But what one can say is amongst these three, which has the greatest benefit for us? And that is quite clear. The enlightened activities of speech, of the Buddha's speech, this has the greatest benefit for us. Because without the speech of a Buddha, we would not come to understand what should be adopted and what should be abandoned, what minds to cultivate and strengthen and which minds to weaken and eradicate. So whilst, for example, the enlightened activities of a Buddha's body certainly benefit sentient beings, what is supreme is the enlightened activities of his speech. And so this brings us then into our second line, where we have the word teaching. We should maybe rather have that as speech. So among all his deeds, the act of speech is supreme. Amongst the all the deeds of the Buddha, all the enlightened activities of the Buddha, those of his the enlightened activities of his body, of his speech and his mind, we can't differentiate between them saying, oh, these are better, this is worse. But when we say, though, that those of his speech are supreme, this doesn't mean that his enlightened activities of his body and of his mind are worse or lesser. Rather, it's my opinion that the enlightened activities of a Buddha's speech are what have the greatest benefit, which are of the greatest benefit to us. So in that way, in terms of which has the greater benefit on us, we can say the enlightened activities of a Buddha's speech. But we wouldn't say that of the enlightened activities of the Buddha, that the speech is better and the others are worse. That wouldn't be the right way to divide them.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it my view that amongst the Buddha's enlightened activities, that of speech is suitable to be said to be supreme because it is of the greatest benefit to us? Well, the reason for this is that it is through the speech of a Buddha that he is able to guide beings in accordance with their own individual disposition and inclinations. So for those who are of limited capacity, the Buddha is able to teach what are the causes that need to be cultivated to ensure a good rebirth in our future lives, as well as the faults to be abandoned to ensure that one does not fall into the suffering realms. And again, through the enlightening activity of the Buddha's speech, to those who are of intermediate capacity, the Buddha is able to guide his students in identifying clearly what are the causes for suffering, not just the gross or manifest suffering, but even the subtler suffering, the subtlest causes, namely the afflicted mind together with their seeds, in particular the ignorance of self-grasping together with its seeds. And he can guide beings in not only recognizing this, but in how to abandon them, and in the actual abandonment of the causes that keep us bound in the suffering realms of samsara. And moreover, through the enlightened activities of speech, the Buddha can guide those who are of the greatest capacity in the cultivation of the minds of love and compassion and the training in the six perfections. And in this way, the wide variety of techniques that lead to the attainment of liberation and the attainment of enlightenment, through this entire array of techniques, the Buddha can, through his speech, can guide beings in a skillful way. And moreover, in terms of the cultivation of view, the Buddha teaches in accordance with the disposition and inclination of beings through the expressing of varying, differing tenets. So the tenets of the Vaibhashika, that of the Satrantika, that of the Chittimattas, and the Madhyamaka Svatrantika, and the Madhyamaka Prasangika. So through those varying, differing philosophical tenets, the Buddha can again guide beings in accordance with their own individual personality, and in this way lead them to a state beyond sorrow, a state freed from suffering. And moreover, for those for whom it is most appropriate, for those who are suitable, the Buddha also taught the various stages of Tantra and the quickest path for the attainment of enlightenment. So this too is the enlightened activity of the Buddha's speech. Through the enlightened activity of his speech or of teaching the Dharma, that students have the opportunity to hear the Buddha Dharma. And through hearing, or independence on hearing the Buddha Dharma, students can train their minds, they can practice or gain experience of what has been taught. So if the Buddha has taught, then independence on that, students hear, and then they can reflect and meditate. And in this way, lives are transformed through the transformation of one's way of thinking, the transformation of one's mind. So therefore, amongst the various enlightened activities of the Buddha, or the various deeds of the Buddha, the one that is supreme in the sense of having the greatest impact on the lives of ordinary beings such as ourselves is that of the speech of the Buddha. Because it's through the enlightened activity of the Buddha's speech that we come to understand the Buddha Dhamma and we can train and develop our own minds.
Deni ki sungi dzeba, deni ki jike kamna meba dan tun jik jumda suzi deni sunshepe nane chwe deni mangbo jashimu shivu sunbare. Di nane kyang chodo gyuba de kare, di nane yada yashu de kare chagiresene denjin jawa chunbi ki tenjuri bi ki tumomu be tawye namsha sunshepe denjin kada di denjuri deba ki deba puyi nane denjin jawa chunbi namsha. Chwe tam je rangshin ye majuba. だ、ランシンマジュバレス。じゃあ、ちょっとじゃあランシンマジュバレ、インビ君前からさ、ちょっと点前じゃあ、先知の点のジュバレス。まあ、と先来まとば、ランゴの途中よまれ。じゃあ、ちょっと感じし、ランシンチの点のジュバレス。じゃあ、点のジュバインビ君前ね、ね、からまとランゴの途中、さわけのよまれ。じゃあ、でね、ランゴのマジュバで、とんにです。でね、ランシンマジュビが
And furthermore, looking at our third line, so we've just heard that the supreme enlightened activity is that of teachings or speech of the Buddha, and amongst the wide variety of teachings that the Buddha gave that are in accordance with the varying dispositions and inclinations of beings, the one that is identifies as being the supreme or the very best is this very teaching that we've been looking at here, this presentation on dependence arising. And why is dependence arising then seen as the supreme of teachings of the Buddha? Because it's through dependence, through the presentation of dependence arising that we can come to understand with clarity that all phenomena, without exception, are empty of inherent existence. And why are all phenomena empty of inherent existence? Because they are dependence arisings. So because there are dependent arisings, they are empty of inherent existence. Nothing is independent. Nothing is independent. And through coming to understand that phenomena lack inherent existence, we develop the wisdom realizing emptiness. And in dependence on this, we can rapidly progress to liberation and even enlightenment. So therefore, amongst the wide variety of teachings that the Buddha gave that are in accordance with the varying personalities of beings, the supreme teaching is that on dependence arising.
Chetamje Rashi Madruba Topi Tawa de Mahombana, and then I was to give Yomoba Pantu Yomar, Yomoba Tawa, Chan Pantu Yomar, Rasin, Yomobe, Savi, the Rasin, Rasin, Juba, Simbizimbares, Chetan Rasin, you Chetamje Rasin, Juba said, Chetamje Gala, Madruba, Rangu, Korong, when you do the game, you are in your joy, medic, Dinela Rasin Juba, Dizimbizimbares, Rasin Juba, Simbizimba, Chetan Dinela Rasin Juba, Zimbizimba, Pambala. Dini zimba zina zindang unga gawi ki lochik lam chik gom de pang gore es. Chizan di rashin ma zhubo tobe ki lo di ta gom che gom toya la, toya la, ane nga zhugi sanye chimne digi. Dien jing zhawa chwe nam sha, den chwe tam che shen chilo dini zhugu ma de kang la dyo ba ma rang wen de zhubo de yo ma re es. Chizan dini yin zang, dini ki dien jing nam sha la dini sam tang yu di dini rashin ma zhubo tobe lo di do tobo ki gore. Rashin ma zhubo tobe lo di ki yu di gom pa la dini rashin yu zhubo zimbe zimbe pang gore. Di pang yu di dini ko tawa rashin yu zhubo zimbe zawa pang pa yin zang, nyom mo ba cha zang. 帮助过来，今天咱他把他个啥上油锅房偷偷过来，其实今天咱的这边拿的送给这边忙活拿的，让新忙主把定金之后去，那就桥都银把的地里，其实地让新准备东北东宁的马光把银呢，你先你这。电南下的军队给南下的大面吧，啥的，你那个这个盖了工把衣呢呀？啊，你在位的员工吧，大声的帮土哥嘛了吧，电信的帮土哥嘛了吧？今天现在的你半夜了，敲土哥把的东西都不落地了，下子现在敲土哥把的也是。
This teaching on the presentation on dependence arising is what is being singled out in this verse as being supreme. And the reason for this is that in order to attain enlightenment, one has to cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness. One has to realize explicitly that all phenomena are empty of inherent existence. Without realizing this directly,One cannot eliminate the cause of suffering, one cannot eliminate one's own samsara, one cannot attain liberation from samsara for oneself, let alone attain enlightenment for the sake of others. And the way to attain liberation and enlightenment is to identify the root cause of our suffering, the ignorance of self-grasping, and then cultivate a path.That leads to the complete eradication or abandonment of this root cause of our suffering together with its seeds. And this path that needs to be cultivated is a path of wisdom, in particular the wisdom realizing emptiness. And the most effective method to realize, to cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness is through meditating on the presentation of dependent arising.Through cultivating the understanding through the presentation on dependent arising that no phenomena exist inherently. Phenomena do appear as if they exist inherently, but no phenomenon can be found to exist in this way. And through meditating on this, through doing so repeatedly over a sustained period, coming to gain subtler and subtler understandings of this presentation,One will start to slowly weaken this grasping at self-existence, at inherent existence, and eventually one will be able to attain complete liberation through the eradication of the ignorance of self-grasping together with their seeds. So it's through this teaching on dependent arising that both liberation and enlightenment itself is possible. So therefore, thisAmongst this enlightened activities of the Buddha, that which is supreme because of having the greatest benefits for beings is that of the enlightened activity of teaching or speech. And amongst the wide variety of teachings, what is identified as supreme is this very teaching we've been studying, that on dependent arising. Because through meditating on dependent arising, we can eliminate the root cause of all our suffering.Without doing so, we cannot gain freedom from suffering. And then as we see in the fourth line, for this reason, so that refers to what has just been mentioned, the reasoning why the presentation on dependent arising is supreme amongst the Buddha's teachings, because it's through reflecting on dependent arising, through the skillful technique, one can come to gain a realization, one can come to understand with perfect clarity that no phenomena exist in the way they appear. In other words, no phenomena exist inherently. And through gaining subtler and subtler realization of this, one can eradicate the ignorance of self-grasping together with its seeds. So for this reason, this one is supreme.
That's the reason why I'm saying that 제베 구송 투기 제바는 제바 초도 규바디 안에 가서 우리 송게 제바 디 나네 그냥 된지게 남샤 최담제 라신 말도 민자 다여 좀 송비게 송게 남샤디 안에 제 송디 안에 초도 규바디 에스 제자 디네 인자 디네기 초도 규바 다 디네기 제바 제고비기 김생 가래 강 가서 강이 체도 가래 돈달이야 제바 제바 가래 돈도 송바래람나 네 디스고로 와다 지게 데니게 송바디 가래 돈도 송바래 세네 다 강이 체도 송바래 사지리기로 와 네 지난에 요 말 땡기디 이 시거든 네
So just to summarize what we've been looking at here, that the Buddha engages in enlightening activities for the welfare of others through activities of body, speech and mind. And amongst these, those which have the greatest benefit on us is the enlightening activity of speech. In other words, the teaching of the Buddha Dharma. And we heard the reasons why. And moreover, we heard amongst the wide variety of speech or teachings of the Buddha, that is of greatest benefit and can be said to be supreme, is this teaching on dependent arising. So this is in brief what we've been looking at. So thus far it's largely just been stated that amongst the supreme teachings of the Buddha, amongst the teachings of the Buddha, that which is supreme is this teaching on dependence arising. But merely stating that is insufficient. One has to present reasons for this. And the reasons why this presentation on dependence arising is supreme is that all beings are the same in wanting to experience only happiness and not wanting to experience a moment of suffering at all. And in order to fulfill this innermost wish of ours, we need to come to understand what suffering is. And in dependence on understanding what suffering is, we'll be motivated to investigate what the causes are of suffering. We'll hear teachings on what those causes are, and then investigate that for ourselves. And we'll come to understand that the presentation that our suffering comes about in dependence on our negative karma that we have accumulated in dependence on our own afflictions, our own afflicted minds, that presentation is unmistaken. When we gain conviction of that, we will continue to investigate further to see what is the very root cause of all these afflicted minds that lead to the accumulation of negative karma, and we'll understand that is the ignorance of self-grasping. That mind is the root cause of all our suffering. And in dependence on having come to understand that with clarity, one will want to eliminate that root cause, because of this desire to be freed of suffering, having identified the cause of all our suffering, we will want to strive to abandon it. And in order to do so, we need a skillful technique. So having identified the cause of our suffering with unmistaken clarity, we will then want to receive further teachings on dependent arising and engage in reflection on them. And for this reason, the Buddha taught the presentation on dependent arising, but according to varying degrees of subtlety. So this is in accordance with a differing philosophical tenets. And then as one engages in both the study and the reflection on the varying presentations of dependent arising, the varying degrees of subtlety, as one gains greater knowledge and experience of these various levels or layers of subtlety, one will eventually come to first understand the view of the Prasangika, the highest view, and then eventually even come to realize that for oneself. And in this way, this supreme of teachings leads one to attaining freedom from suffering, liberation from suffering. The motivation or inspiration of the Buddha in teaching is to fulfill the temporary and ultimate needs of sentient beings, so that he would taught in accordance with the varying capacities of sentient beings in order to fulfill this aim of his, this aim of fulfilling both the temporary and the ultimate needs of sentient beings. So whatever the capacity of beings are, he taught in accordance with that, and the temporary aim or temporary goal of that sentient beings need to fulfill is to continue to receive good rebirths, rebirths as a human or as a god. And moreover, where beings, the capacity of beings was sufficient, the Buddha taught so as to enable them to cultivate the causes to fulfill their long-term needs, their long-term goals, that of freedom from suffering and enlightenment itself. And the Buddha, everything he taught based on his own experience. He taught the path that he himself had cultivated within himself. So he taught based on both knowledge and experience in accordance with the needs of beings to fulfill both their temporary needs, that of good rebirths, and that of their ultimate needs, their long-term needs, that of liberation and enlightenment.
Keba yi dile sanji jiren chu sore dini yi chi keba yi dile sanji jiren chu na gar sum gor sin na chi san du chi na sanji gi se wor da dile ya ne sanji gi dang bo ne nyam den chi tu kap le ya ma ha du zo sim chen tam ji gi dun da le ya ne ji gi cha chu chu du sim ge de ne ji gi jin ba da su dim ne ga wa bao du me ba nyam le chi ne yu da so da de ne gi Dude number of conduits, and getting chimbushure, just as I jumped in the young out to let in the sun shape, cheated Pimbassing, Yaku, now to get chimbushure shas. Just not the nigger Sanji soon shape, cheated young out to get Sanji Sumba Nashin, you tear some gums, some gin yam and cheva in the house in a duma de touch and tarbata tamji chimbokopo, Sanji Nashin, top to it, the go up to Sanji get the nigger and the lambin yasha, Mazi Yaku Resha, some gin, Delia, and the Sanji getting Jesus ten.
Looking then at the fourth line in the verse, for this reason, the wise should remember the Buddha. The meaning here is that those who are wise or learned or learned and experienced, the wise, then they have come to understand the tremendous effort the Buddha himself put in order to become a Buddha, as well as understanding what his motivation was for striving to become a Buddha. That his motivation that was to cultivate the six perfections under the influence of the mind of bodhicitta so as to become a Buddha in order to benefit ourselves. And coming to this appreciation that all the effort that he put in to attain enlightenment was for us ourselves. And moreover, when he attained in the bodies of a Buddha, when he arose as a Buddha, all the enlightened activities that he engaged in then and continues to, the enlightened activities of his body, of his speech, and of his mind, are all motivated to benefit myself and each and every other suffering sentient being. So when the knowledgeable and the experienced or the wise, they come to gain a clear understanding of this, they develop from deep within their hearts an appreciation, a genuine appreciation for the kindness of the Buddha. And accompanying this transforming appreciation for the kindness of the Buddha comes a powerful wish to emulate him, to strive just like he did, and to have as beneficial impact on the lives of countless beings just like he did. So through an appreciation of the kindness of the Buddha, which is what we're seeing here in the fourth line, remembering the Buddha, through an appreciation of the kindness of the Buddha, one gives rise to a genuine wish to emulate him.
Nane, Dumba Choto Cuba, that is Yama Shuba, Naji Dumba, Dumba Choto Cuba, Carasene, and Dumbi, Sanjung, the Kowat, and Taba, the Tamji Kimber, the Dubi, Tap Lam, Yashu, Dumba Sanji Jimnendigi, Mato, Shen, and the Dendigi Namsha, Chetamje, Rashi Majuba, Yinayang, Chenaji Meba, Mare, and the Lupa, Tawa, some Yubis, Yores, and the Dendigi Namsha, Tangi, the Jabigi, Tangi, the Umigi, Lamji, Namsha, Sungandida.
Sanji Jumnendi, Dumba, and the Dumba Chodu Gubare Shas, Jinan Dinin, Nazulia, Sanji Jumnendi, Jinchimbo Dinin, Jesan Dinin, Narangi Dinigi, and Sanji Jumnendi, Gitin Chiren Chiatan, Sanji Jumnendi, Gitin Chiren Chiatan, Sanji Jumnendi, the Dumba and the Dumba Chodu Gubare, Sanji Jumnendi, Deba, Zichu Chiche, and Jap Dumba, Sanji Kona, Japsu Chiatan, Yaman Chichan, Sanji Jumnendi, Song Shabu Chetelia, and Tersam Gomsum, and Yaman Jehore, as I take that, Jerem Chigan Azulia, Labjal Masona Dinishangore. As was mentioned in a previous verse, there have been many Buddhas, But amongst the many Buddhas that there have been in this world, that which is the kindness is the kindest is that of Buddha Shakyamuni, because it was him who taught the Buddha Dharma, his Buddha Dharma which still abides in the world today, his Buddha Dharma that we have ourselves created the causes to meet and have interest in, and now giving rise to an ever stronger wish to cultivate within ourselves. It's through the kindness of Buddha Shakyamuni himself that he taught this the presentation on dependent arising. And why is this presentation on dependent arising supreme? Why is this the supreme teaching? Amongst the many teachings on how to realize the emptiness of inherent existence, why is it this one that is being identified here as supreme? The reason is because of the clarity that when one comes to understand the subtle presentation of dependent arising, one gains an understanding with clarity, an unmistaken understanding, that phenomena do not exist by way of their own self-nature, nor are they non-existent. So in other words, it's through the presentation of dependent arising that one comes to understand the middle way view, the view that is in the middle between the two extremes, the extreme of inherent existence, or existence by its self-nature or self-existence, and the extreme of non-existence. So it's through this supreme teaching that was taught by the supreme being that we can come to understand the middle way view, the actual view that leads to a complete eradication of suffering, a complete a pacification of all fabrications. When one gives rise to a sincere appreciation of the kindness of the Buddha, that's when we will be inspired by him to emulate him, seeing him as a role model, and wanting to strive in our training to become just like him, to become a Buddha for the sake of others. And this realization arose in the mind of Jerenpuche himself when he set himself to strive to become a Buddha for the sake of others, training just in the exact same way as Buddha Shakyamuni himself had trained. And so here Jerenpuche is encouraging us to study these teachings, to reflect on them, to meditate on them, so as to give rise to the same heartfelt wish and transform our own lives. So now we come to the 53rd verse. I ordained into the way of the Buddha and was not lax in training and the conqueror's speech. A monk who enthusiastically exerted himself in yogic practice, in this way I honor the great sage. Now we come to a new part of the text. We've concluded the main body of the text. So what we've looked at up to this point is the presentation on dependence arising composed by Jerenpuche. So the main body of the text is now completed. And in the verse we've just looked at, the 52nd verse, we've seen a summary of the previous 51 verses. Now in the 53rd verse, we start with the final section. And here this particular verse is Jerenpuche is describing the manner in which he himself trained in order to give rise to these realizations. Looking at the first line, I ordained into the way of the Buddha. So here Jerem Pache is saying that in this life he has come to ordain in as a follower of the Buddha, as a student of the Buddha. And this has come about in dependence on the prayers that he made in previous lives. In previous lives he made the sincere, heartfelt prayers that in all future lives may he continue to meet the Buddha Dhamma at a young age, be inspired by the Buddha Dhamma, come under the care of skilled teachers, and spend his life training under their care and their guidance, so as to be able to attain the state of enlightenment himself. So having made these heartfelt prayers in previous lives, those prayers have borne fruit in this very life, where he met the Dharma at a young age, ordained, and has spent his life training under the care of skilled teachers. Then looking at the second line, and was not lax in training in the conqueror's speech. So now he's ordained as a very young person, and has come under the care of a teacher, and came to rely on his teachers, and through this he studied the sutra teachings of the Buddha as well as the tantric teachings, and he trained in these. In other words, he heard their teachings, he reflected, he's been meditating on these teachings of both sutra and tantra. So, and he did so with great effort. So that's the meaning of our second line. And
come down mobile in a sonship, junta so socially sonship, the social son of Chip and Sigurwada. Come down mobile. Just as on you jumped into your sonship, cheer the come down mobile at dinner, junta jerama, do they have a sonship, he said, junta you call it, junta come mobile, mobile mitawa, rere, yobanza, and the chicken, namjama, kaka sonship, mongorwa, dinner in a Gunaline, and that you giddy, she nane come mobile at dinner, and a come giddy she, so she gives my jammer, which is a dinner. Sang your gemnan, did you so shape your daughter? Ah, denigim. Dinane janitig, chasanly, I look to Shabay. Then I know to the sources of the sonship, to the sources of Chasan look to Shabay. Giddy sources and a sonship, giddy chasan call look to Shabay. Dinne, and there, and take it here, and Yabwegi, Kabigi, Java, some shepherd, did some Mayimba, and Jagar Kabi, Pandita, and Amki, and Chukumbo Luruta, Aria Diawata, Denegi, and Nijik, Sanje, Jan, Panantawata, Palasovigi, Kaba, and Amki, Jashibi, Hung, Chazanlia, Tusin, Luchan Sheva, Yinsung Rada, Give you Sunla, Jamba, Mimenshi, and Jamba, Mimen, let it be Yahoo Sheva.
Continuing to look at the second line, and was not lax in training in the conqueror's speech. So Jerenpuche is making two distinct points here. So the first is referring to the conqueror's speech. So what was it that Jerenpuche trained in? So he, through first coming to rely on teachers and you know, coming under the care of teachers, he studied with great endeavor, and he studied the sutras of the Buddha. He studied the various commentaries to those sutras, the commentaries written by the outstanding masters from India, such as Nagarjuna and Aryadeva and Chandrakirti and many others. And he also studied the outstanding commentaries composed by the great Tibetan scholars. So he studied in great detail, reflected in great detail, a wide variety of sutras, and he also then studied all the varying tenets. So the tenets of the Vaibhashika and the Sahasrara and the Chittimātrins and the Madhyamakas. Studied all of these in great detail, coming to understand the subtler points with clarity. And moreover, he didn't only study the under teachers in one particular lineage. So at the time, there were teachers of the Nyingma tradition in Tibet, as well as those of the Kagyu tradition and the Sakya tradition. And he studied under many teachers in each of those traditions. And he studied not just the texts of the Indian masters, not just the texts of the Tibetan masters, and he didn't ignore the sutras themselves, but studied all of them. And he didn't limit himself to just the sutra teachings either. He engaged in the study and the practice of the tantras as well. He studied the four classes of tantra, that of action and performance and yoga and highest yoga. All four classes of tantra he became adept in. And moreover, he came to understand how the Buddha taught in accordance with the varying disposition and inclination of beings. So his understanding was one free of contradiction. So this is the meaning in terms of the conqueror's speech. The vast array of teachings that Jerenpuche engaged in the study and reflection and meditation on. And that then leads into the second key point here, that he was not lax in his training. In other words, the way he engaged in the cultivation of the Buddha Dharma within himself wasn't ordinary. It wasn't common or common in that many people, this is how many people engaged. It was rather quite extraordinary. And he's using a quite humble term by saying that he wasn't lax in his endeavors. But we can understand from the vast array of texts that he did study and come to understand and commentaries he composed on them, that he certainly was not someone ordinary, but rather quite exceptional.
Mm, Tebaje, Dunda, some Tesum, Jayon, the Gabla, and the other Tig of Flow in air, and a Sakshan, Jig, Tesum, Jibuja, the Mayimbaje, and Delia, Jig, Diva, Shaya, Shapachia, and the Gawa Saya, and the Jig, Sakshan, Sada, Lamalia, and then Triple Puyadan, and the Monadia, Sova, Devia, then the energy, and the Mandia, please. 错杀
And furthermore, what we can understand in this second line is not just the vast array of texts of Sutra and Tantra and across the two great Buddhist nations of India and Tibet and all traditions that he gained mastery of, but through studying these, reflecting on their meaning, meditating on their meaning, to come to the precise, completely unmistaken understanding, he also engaged in extensive activities of purification and accumulation. So he made supplications to his Lama and Yidam, offerings to his Lama and Yidam, and then, in dependence on that, he engaged in acts of accumulation of virtue and purification of negativities through, for example, making a vast number of prostrations, mandala offerings, other forms of offerings, also as to accumulate virtue, purify negativities, in order to aid his study, his reflection, his meditation.
What
we're hearing here is an actual example, perhaps we can say a living example of the mind of joyous perseverance, or a living expression of the mind of joyous perseverance. A monk who enthusiastically exerted himself in yogic practice. The yogic practice then refers to his studies of the sutra and tantra, and not just, as we've heard, the teachings of the sutra teachings of the Buddha and the tantric teachings of the Buddha, but the commentaries composed by the great Indian masters and Tibetan masters as well. So the original sutras and the original tantras together with their commentaries, these were studied and reflected on. And he did so to the point where he came to a profound understanding of them. And at that point, he cultivated intentionally the union of calm abiding and meditative insight, and with this powerful meditative mind, he engaged in meditation on what he had been training in. So, for example, he had trained extensively, studied and reflected extensively on the presentation of the view of the middle wave. And coming to a clear understanding of this, he then meditated on this with a union of calm abiding and meditative insight.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, in terms of the teachings of secret mantra, with the union of calm abiding and meditative insight, he engaged in the meditations of both stages of secret mantra, those of the stages of highest yoga tantra, those of the generation stage and the completion stage. So he engaged in these practices with the union of of calm abiding and meditative insight.
Mm-hmm. The Niki Jerim Dong Forum Yang and Yamlin now in the Yanga Kelonchin and Yamlin Cheva is Kelonchik and Kelonchin, San Yu Jim Lendi and Ya Rabjunche, Kelonche, Kelongich, and Anna Ting it in that, and the Jerim Dong Forum Yamlin Cheva is Chesanga and Jerim Dong Forum Yamlin Chiku up in Yamlin Chiku said, and the Chiku Yum Teata and in the Shad.
And the way this third line is presented, it was composed, where he's bringing forward several points here. In this one line, this is done for a specific purpose. A monk who enthusiastically exerted himself in yogic practice. So utilize this term yogic practice then is making it very clear that he engaged in the practices of secret mantra, those the two stages of the generation and completion stage. And he did so enthusiastically, but as a fully ordained monk. So the Tibetan is the word for a fully ordained monk, a gelong. So what he's saying here is that he engaged in the practices of highest yoga tantra whilst remaining a fully ordained monk. So he didn't engage in practices with an actual consort, but still engaged in the practices of the generation and completion stage.
Mm.
And looking at the final line in this verse, in this way I honor the great sage. So what we've seen thus far in the verse, that Jai Rinpoche started his life, in this life of Jai Rinpoche's, through independence on the prayers he had made in previous lives, he ordained at a young age, had great interest in the Dharma from a young age, and through training under the care and the guidance of skilled teachers, he came to understand, study and reflect on a vast array of sutras and tantras, as well as their commentaries to them by Indian and great Tibetan masters. And these he studied, he reflected on, and he meditated on, coming eventually to understand the ultimate view of the Buddha, the supreme view, that is the view of the middle way that is free of the extremes of the view of existence and the view of non-existence. And he came to this realization of the middle way through the presentation on dependent arising. And at that point, he gave rise, when he came to this realization, he gave rise to tremendous appreciation for Buddha Shakyamuni. Because amongst all the sages, it was only the great sage, Buddha Shakyamuni himself, who has taught dependence arising. It's a unique presentation, a unique teaching that only Buddha Shakyamuni had given. So in this way, he came to understand that the Buddha taught the complete and unmistaken path by which his followers could become Buddhas themselves. So with a sense of sincere appreciation for the kindness and the greatness of the Buddha, of the great sage, Jai Rinpoche composed this text. And in this way, through composing this text that we've been studying, he honors the great sage. And why is the composition of this text a way of honoring the great sage? Because of his motivation, because of Jai Rinpoche's motivation, he is composing this text so that his followers, both in his lifetime as well as those who would come after he had passed from this world, would be able to train in the same way that Jai Rinpoche himself had trained, and come to give rise to the same realizations that Jai Rinpoche had now given rise to, those same realizations that in previous lifetimes the being that was to become Buddha Shakyamuni also gave rise to. So it's through the composition of this text, which is with its full title, A Praise to Buddha Shakyamuni for Having Taught Dependent Arising. So it's through composing this text, Jai Rinpoche is honoring the great sage. There have been many biographies composed about Jai Rinpoche. In this one verse, this is his own autobiography, where he presents in the briefest of ways how he spent his life in study, reflection, and meditation.
Yende 통통하셔야지 산유
Rinpoche, I composed this verse specifically so as to give advice to his students. So he's in this verse, he has presented how he has lived his life. He ordained as a young child, and has spent his life hearing teachings, reflecting on them, hearing further teachings, as well as continuing to reflect on them, and continued this process of hearing teachings and reflecting on these teachings, and so as to enable the effect his meditation to be effective, so as to overcome the obstacles he had to gaining the actual realizations of the ultimate view of the Buddha. He not only heard many teachings, reflected and meditated on them, but he also engaged in extensive acts of the accumulation of virtue and purification of negativities. And moreover, on this solid foundation of qualities, he engaged in the practices as a fully ordained monk in the two stages of highest yoga tantra, the generation and completion stage. So this is how he lived his life. And he has now composed this verse as encouragement for his followers to emulate him, to follow the same example as he did. And moreover, in order to achieve all that he did achieve in that life, he's encouraging us not to be satisfied with just some small amount of knowledge, to be satisfied with studying just minor texts, but to give rise to the wish to study all the great texts and to come to realize their innermost meanings. So not to be satisfied with mere knowledge, with mere understanding, with mere or minor mental developments, but rather to emulate his example, which is the same example that the being that was to become the Buddha has set forth. And if we do so, just like them, we will not only attain liberation from suffering, but we will attain enlightenment itself. So embarking, if we take inspiration from their examples, then we should generate the motivation of wanting to live a life of greatest meaning to all suffering beings, and follow their example, and train and develop ourselves so as to attain the same result that they achieved. So now tonight we finished the main body of the text. We finished we can say we finished the text itself. And we've even finished the autobiography of Jai Rinpoche. So what's left for tomorrow is we'll do the verses of dedication. Mm-hmm. That makes it good.